It's almost time for Unit 5 and District 87 kids to head back to school. That means bus drivers are getting ready.
The importance of having a school bus driver isn't just to get somebody in the seat. You want somebody that's caring, that's focused on customer service.
That's Chris Coyle from Unit 5's bus company, First Student. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
Wednesday, August 7th, coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with back-to-school season. After at least 3 years using bus tracking capabilities, Unit 5 is looking into what's next. WGLT's Mary Cullen has the story.
First Student General Manager Chris Coyle says the busing company is working with Unit 5 to roll out First View, a new bus tracking technology.
A text message, or actually a push, for First View is pushed out to the parents and let them know the bus is within 5 minutes out. Especially important when we get the cold days that if we're running behind because of traffic and stuff like that, they're not out there standing on a corner.
Coyle says the tracker benefits First Student too by showing trouble spots with the route where changes could increase efficiency. Unit 5 business manager Marty Hickman says the district's current app, MyStop, is more general about the bus's location. He says the district uses a separate technology to track individual students.
We have something on the buses called ZPass. So the students scan when they get on the bus, they scan when they get off the bus. And the district and First Student has that kind of access to see, but it's not part of our MyStop app currently.
Hickman says the district is still in talks with Coyle and First Student about a timeline on when Unit 5 can utilize the newer First View app. Coyle says First Student is ready for the first day of school next Friday with or without the new First View technology. He says the district's Big Bus, No Big Deal event this summer brought in a slew of possible new drivers. Coyle says drivers must take over 50 hours of training, pass a drug and background check, and have gone at least 3 years without interruption on their driver's license before they can call themselves a First Student driver.
The importance of having a school bus driver isn't just to get somebody in the seat. You want somebody that's caring, that's focused on customer service, and is really there, understands that they're there to make sure that the child's first face that they see is smiling, and the last one to make sure they have a great day.
Coyle says many don't make it out of the training. That's why they're always looking for new drivers. This Friday is the route bid where drivers pick the route they want for the school year, starting with those that have been with the company the longest. Practice runs for the 2019-2020 school year start on Monday to be ready for the start of school at the end of next week. For The Leadoff, I'm Mary Cullen.
And here are some of the other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. Military surveillance balloons originally launched in South Dakota are conducting surveillance tests even in the Bloomington Normal and Peoria areas. Ed Yonka with the ACLU of Illinois says it's unclear what information is being collected and who has access to it. Chestnut Health Systems of Bloomington will be taking part in a national study that aims to curb opioid abuse among recently released prisoners. Chestnut's Lighthouse Institute Division will share an $155 million grant from the National Institute on Drug Abuse. And Illinois high school students will soon have to fill out the free application for federal student aid, or FAFSA, as a condition of their graduation. Find those stories and more at WGLT.org. The Illinois Autonomous Vehicles Association may not be a household name, but it's got some powerful friends. Its founding members include State Farm and Rivian. I recently traveled to Chicago to speak with the association's executive director, Jerry Quant, at an event focused on electric vehicle charging infrastructure. A Rivian executive was one of the speakers. Quant says automated mobility is a whole lot bigger than just cars that steer themselves.
Here's the really cool thing is, a lot of people don't understand this, but connected, all of the pieces of connected and automated mobility exist here in the state, right? One of the cool parts of it is they don't just exist in the city of Chicago. As a matter of fact, a few of them do, but many of them don't. Most of them are in our outer regions. So let's start with, and I'm not just playing to the audience here, let's start with Peoria. Peoria is the home, in my opinion, of automated technology. We can talk all we want about automated cars and autonomous cars being started at Carnegie Mellon, but the people paying the bills for Carnegie Mellon back in the 70s and 80s was Caterpillar, right? And that is right in Peoria's backyard and in the Tri-County region's backyard. And because of that, we have a side business that's been built out that's also an internationally known developer of prototypes of this technology, which is autonomous stuff. We also have in their backyard in Peoria, or in Bloomington and Normal, State Farm, who's really pioneering a lot of the insurance components and evaluations around what automated mobility is going to be about. And now we have, very successfully, the development of Rivian and Rivian coming into play. So we have this nice little area downstate that is already playing into that world. Upstate, we have great companies like Navistar, like Boeing, who's been doing communication systems for a long period of time. We've got companies, startup companies, that are happening around here. We've got EZEV with Exelon doing work in the space. We've got Cisco, who heads up a lot of their initiatives out of here. And we've got Bosch. And so the confluence of all of these sort of players really gives us a leg up in owning this overarching space, right? Not to mention the fact that we have some of the best logistics organizations. And really, moving people in an automated way is nothing more different, not drastically different philosophically, from moving goods. And so we have the likes of Coyote and Echo Logistics that are using AI to optimize logistics. And we've always been a center for logistics here in Illinois and in the Midwest. We have all these companies that are doing stuff, but they're not doing it in a cohesive manner. They're doing a lot of these one-off projects. And so what you don't get is the sensibility that we have a concerted effort. And that's what we try to do with our presentation on our website, www.ilavassoc.org. You can find it, and it's the state of CAVs, and it sort of outlines these pockets of programs and areas that are happening, providing a sort of cohesive umbrella over the top of that with all the things that are going on, and showcasing that the talent, intellectual capital, all exists right here in Illinois to own this space.
You can hear my full interview with Illinois Autonomous Vehicles Association Executive Director Jerry Quant tomorrow on WGLT's Sound Ideas. Before we let you go, a reminder that the McLean County chapter of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America is hosting its Passion into Action event tonight at 7 outside the McLean County Museum of History in downtown Bloomington. It's in response to the recent mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton. Thank you for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.